Hello, everybody. Welcome to CAGcast episode number 199. Oh, my God.
That's fucking awesome. By the way, this is episode 199, the fucking explicit episode.
That's how many times we're going to use the word fuck, right?
Yes, we're going to say fuck 199 times.
What are we up to so far?
I think four fucking fucks.
Wait, that now it's six.
Six.
Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. Of course, we have Wombat, who is cursing.
Fucking glad to be
He's
here.
He's very glad to be here. And Shipwreck, who has never... Somebody pointed out, actually, that Shipwreck has never cursed.
I've never sweared before.
On the show.
Yes, I have.
I don't think so. Someone asked, how come Shipwreck never curses? And I said, because you were a Mormon.
No, I'm not. I'm not a Mormon.
Oh. He's a fucking Quaker.
Yes, I am. I am a Quaker. I don't know. I don't drop the F-bomb too often.
Well, it's good because when you, it's better if you don't drop it too often, because when you do drop it, then it actually has some impact. If you're just cursing every 3 seconds for the sake of cursing, then when you really want to have some impact with an F-bomb, it's, you know, doesn't mean anything.
And then it's just fucking wasted.
All right, let's get off this right now. Okay. No more cursing, in fact. In fact,
you're done with it already?
We're done with it already. In fact, no one is allowed to curse for the rest of the show.
I'll try my best. I make no promises.
Okay. Excellent. Well, we have a really big show this week because, I mean, it was a crazy week for releases, and we've actually played some of them. I think Shipwreck and myself both finished Alan Wake. So we can
that is correct.
We can really talk about that, but... People were asking.
We can spoil the crap out of that one.
Nah, because people asked if we were at the end of the show if we were going to have our spoiler discussion, but the game just came out like 2 days ago.
Yeah, so. not yet. We'll wait until I'm going to send it to Wombat so Wombat can play it, and we'll have it after that.
A week or 2 weeks, we'll see. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. Wombat played Red Dead Redemption. I think he's the only one of us to play it, right? Shep, you didn't play it.
No, I haven't. I haven't had a chance to play it yet, though.
Yeah, I played like 2 hours of it.
Right, so that's not a lot, but you can still talk about it.
I played 3D Dot Heroes, which would be another.
Which you talked about last week.
Yeah, but I played more.
Great. Well, anyway, we have a lot of stuff to talk about. So,
and I played Letting Gold. That was the other game I played.
Right. Well, okay. Well, you know, I was only touching on the big title. See, I'm doing what's called a teaser. You don't need to give it all up right now.
Well, you did a terrible job. Go back and do what you were doing.
Well, you also saw Iron Man 2, right?
I did see the Iron Man 2.
And what'd you think? Because I've heard people say it's not as good as the first one, and it's kind of a letdown.
It's not as good as the first one, but I wasn't let down. Does that make sense?
Is it better than RoboCop 2?
It is better than RoboCop 2. Okay. It is not better than RoboCop 1.
Okay. Well, that's pretty good still.
Yeah, no, I mean, I didn't walk away going, that was terrible. I mean, it has plot holes you could drive a truck through, like things that just really don't make sense at all.
Like what?
Like Whiplash, when he first appears, he stops Tony Stark when he's in the race car. They show that in the trailer.
Yes.
You know, Whiplash cuts up the race car.
Yeah, he cuts it up.
Cuts the race car. Yeah, Tony Stark isn't supposed to be the driver, but at the last minute he decides to drive the car. Whiplash shouldn't know that.
Right, he should have think that Tony Stark is not even in the car.
Exactly. So why would he be there?
Right.
So it was like little things like that just really didn't make, like, the end of the movie. They fight in the area that they're in,
Let's not spoil the end of the movie yet.
There's a fight at the end of the movie. I'm not even going to tell you who or what.
Unbelievable.
They fight. Yeah, I know. How dare I say that there's a fight? Why they don't go to an unpopulated area, I don't get.
Because it looks better.
Yeah, it's like, ooh.
Have you ever seen the ending of Transformers?
Yeah, exactly.
They go right to the populated area. Looks better.
I don't know. But anyway, exactly, because it looks cool.
But it was still fun, a fun movie, and you recommend people
see it. Oh, yeah, it's still fun. I really like Scarlett Johansson in it. I kind of like Scarlett Johansson in anything.
Of course, she's pretty hot.
She is pretty hot, and she's hot in this, and she's good in it. I like her. Cool. I like her as a Black Widow. So. Nice. Yeah.
I liked the first one, but I didn't think it was as awesome as everybody else thought. I mean, I thought it could use some more action.
There's probably, I would say maybe the same amount of action, but I think the action in 2 is probably better. It just doesn't make as much sense to the plot as the action did in the first one.
And Gary Shandling is in it.
And Gary Shandling is in it.
Right. And a nod to Howard Stern, he's Senator Stern.
Exactly.
Excellent. Well, okay.
Well, I heard he's a big Iron Man fan. Howard Stern is big into Iron Man.
He liked the movie. He had John Favreau is a big Howard Stern fan, the director. So that's how that worked out. Anyway, let's go right into some show feedback, I think. Get the party started, so to speak. King Brawley didn't like the fact that we were talking about the Wii transfer issues for your downloadable content. He says, nice two-year-old discussion. Oh, wait, you're supposed to be reading this, right, Wombat?
Well, you were doing such a fine job. Why would I stop?
I'm sorry. Nice two-year discussion of the Wii Shop Channel stuff, guys. You can link your stuff to the Club Nintendo account, but nothing is guaranteed. However, it's your best bet. It's the reason I don't download from their shop a lot anymore. If Nintendo continues down this path and doesn't work out something for pre-existing customers, mainly for a Wii to Wii HD or whatever the new Wii is going to be, it could lead a lot of people to resort to piracy of those older games and in turn newer games. Shipwreck posted this in the thread, but you know, just because you know it, King Brawley, doesn't mean everybody else knows it. And in fact, right after we were done recording the show, I got an email from a CAG, and he had this exact problem. He said he bought... It was funny, because we had like this hypothetical situation that we mentioned on the show, and I shit you not, I got an email from a CAG that was the exact same situation. It's a guy who bought $1,000 worth of downloadable content for his Wii, and he was very excited about the new black Wii, and he bought that, and then he's like, uh-oh, I can't get my stuff on there. So I don't know if that's been resolved yet, but apparently if you call Nintendo, sometimes they'll hook you up, sometimes not, but obviously...
Sometimes they'll send you a can of black paint.
Right. Sometimes they'll say, you know what, just don't buy our new products. So obviously it's something that needs to be addressed in a more technically advanced way than having to call them up, or maybe it'll work with a Club Nintendo account, maybe not. Anyway, so that's why we brought it up, just to let people know. Public service.
Yeah, it hasn't been fixed yet, so it's valid to bring it up still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Wombat, why don't you read this next one from Boken Cage? I'll just introduce it by saying last week we talked about the EA Online Pass and how EA is going to be charging people who don't buy a copy of the game new $10 to use the game, sports game's online features. Take it away, Wombat.
I'd like to understand why video games and movies are the only industries allowed to punish the used market. Used books, furniture, cars, televisions, MP3 players, gaming consoles, etc. are all perfectly okay despite the original manufacturer making no money off the sale. It's the movie and video game industries that suffer exclusively from this dastardly business practice.
Well, I know the answer. Does anybody else want to go first?
I say go for it. Tell me the answer.
Chip, do you have a...
No, I want to hear your answer.
The answer is...
That was so distracting how Wombat read
that.
Yeah,
I don't know why he has to read it again. Like a jerk off.
Yeah.
I thought I did a good performance.
Give me the answer, though, then I'll figure out the question list.
Okay. The reason why only it's the game industry primarily that's doing this is because the technology exists for them to do so. It's because they can do it. If there was a way for a car manufacturer... Well, you know what? And... These other examples, they're not good examples. Cars, used books, furniture, televisions, anything that's like hardware, with age, it deteriorates. It reduces in value just because of the fact that it's not a new product. It's worn, it's physically worn down, and it's not as, you know, just for that reason alone, it would not be as valuable as a new product. With video games, you're talking about a digital medium. If the disc, you know, works, it works, basically, and the game is... just as good as if you bought a new copy for the most part, for the actual game experience. Don't start talking to me about scratch discs and all that stuff, because you can obviously get a copy that works if you get a bum copy. So that's
and buying used furniture is kind of gross.
Right, of course. And used furniture, you know, someone's raw ass was on there masturbating. Probably Wombats.
Probably. I would not buy a couch that I owned. I'm just throwing that out there, people. Don't buy a couch for me. You don't want it.
Right. I mean, these are all things that deteriorate over time, especially, you know, cars, too. I mean, after a few years, cars...
Well, with cars, there's parts.
Of course.
And if it's a part that you can only buy from the manufacturer, then that's how the manufacturer is going to make money off your used car. There's always that, you know, And there's also the chance that the person who sold that used car bought a new car that could be from the same brand. There is a benefit to the car and to the car dealer, and I think in the used car market.
Well,
but then again, I'm making this up.
They use the same argument as the game industry proponents of used car sales, saying, you know, people trade in their old cars to buy new cars. But the fact is, used cars, there's a huge difference between a used car and a new car. You know, nobody could have took a shit in the back seat of your new car. It's a new car. But with games, it really doesn't matter if you buy a new game or a used game in terms of your
user
experience.
And I can't say that someone has taken a shit in the back seat of my car.
Your daughter.
Yes.
Right.
Sure.
And I can say that I had a golden shower last week, but, you know, it was Ty peeing on me in the shower.
Nice, nice. And by the way, you said shit, so you already broke the curse.
I know, but that's not really a curse.
Oh, they can't say it on TV.
Okay.
I mean, it's not cunt liquor, but, you know.
All right, let's keep things in check. Anyway, so you sort of see my point. But the main point is that they can do it with games. It's very easy for them to suck an extra $10 out of a customer's pocket who buys a game new with its DLC practices and online passes. It's just, it works really well for the game format from a technical perspective. You know, how do you do that with a book? There's no way to do that. You know, that's why they do it, because they can. It's really simple. It's really simple. And Oscar the Grouch also writes in and he says, now Ubisoft is announcing they're going to get on this EA-style style project with $10 DLC and some other kind of code system. Don't you think the publishers are starting to get a bit greedy? And then he says, wouldn't a more effective way of combating used game sales to be to put out quality titles that people want to pay $60 for and not want to trade in? And also, we just found out that UFC Undisputed requires a code to play online. So everyone's getting in on this, you know, and I'll tell you, first of all, the first thing that people need to keep in mind, because a lot of people were sort of maybe disappointed in our discussion last week that we weren't so outraged about the EA Online Pass. Let me ask you a trivia question, Wombat. How much money do you think EA made last year? Because people are talking about that the publishers are getting greedy and, you know, why do they need to milk more
money?
Didn't
they lose like $15 million last year or something?
They lost $600 million last year.
$600 million, that's more than 15.
Yes, it's a lot. And I think over the last 2 years, they've lost over $1 billion. So it's not just the case of publishers getting greedy. I mean, publishers are losing money in a lot of cases, and most games lose money. Like, an incredible majority of games lose money. I mean, I had a lunch with... And I can't really tell you too many details, but I had a lunch with some guys from a major publisher took me out for lunch just to talk about, like, the game industry and marketing and, you know, basically everything. And one of the things they were saying is that, you know, the cost of making games is just, it's so ridiculous now that you can sell, like, for a AAA title, you can easily sell 1 million copies of a game and lose money. On a $60 game, you could sell 1 million copies and lose money. So it's no surprise that publishers are doing this stuff.
I guess the question is also, is where is that money going?
Marketing.
Why? I still don't get that. Well, that the amount was, of money.
Yeah, I mean, that was part of our discussion yesterday, was that the marketing costs are out of control. They're buying all this airtime on TV, and it's so expensive, and, you know, no one really knows if it's effective, but they sort of feel like they have to do it, because when it comes down to it, game business is a business, and they employ, like, traditional business practices, and some of them just may be a waste of time and money.
I think TV commercials aren't a waste of time, though, as long as you have them airing on the right channels at the right times.
But it depends because how much they cost. I know, also, they're really expensive.
Well, yeah, but I know that that's how people at my day job learn about games.
Okay.
Like, they come up and they say, hey, I saw a commercial for this game. What's it about? Like, they come to me to get more details on it because they see a TV commercial. So I think the TV commercials are a valuable marketing asset.
Yeah, that could be true. And Oscar Grouch brings up another point, which I totally agree with, and I've been saying this forever, when he says, well, actually, no, I don't agree with him. He says, wouldn't it be a more effective way of combating used game sales to put out quality titles that people want to pay $60 for and not want to trade in? I think the price is too high still. I mean, sure, if you look at it, video games are really cheaper than they've ever been, you know, adjusted for inflation. But if you want to kill off the used game market, have the games be $40. That'll put a nice dent in the used game market.
But you just said all these companies are losing money. So
but
here,
okay, but
price.
Listen. But here's the thing. Now look at.
I'm listening.
Look at.
Tell me on this.
Look what's going on CAG in the last week or two. All these new releases are coming out. Alan Wake, Red Dead, Prince of Persia, Split Second. All these games all have retailers who are offering like $10 coupons, $20 coupons when you buy the game from them. And you know, all that stuff is subsidized anyway by the publisher. So in effect, that's really what they're doing to some retailers. Maybe if they said, screw that, screw the coupon stuff, let's just put the game out for $40. Maybe that would be more effective. Don't you think
all of that coupon stuff is subsidized?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Or at least in part. It may not be 100%.
I don't know if it is 100% subsidized.
I don't know if it's 100% subsidized, but it's subsidized.
Like with Amazon, that money goes towards the purchase of another game through Amazon. It's not like they get the money back or off. So I'm going to say it may not be subsidized. It's not like a coupon where the money is just taken off.
Right, and it's not like all these companies that price match, like Amazon, are getting subsidized the same way that, like, if Walmart is running a sale and Amazon price matches it, they're not seeing the subsidization.
They may go to the publisher and say, we want a credit off of our future purchases, we want to drop the price down, well, you did this deal with Walmart. I mean, that's how all those sales work. They make out deals with publishers. You know,
it's probably based on an amount purchased.
There's a lot of factors, but the point is, there's some room there. Obviously, there's room there because they're spending all this money on marketing.
Maybe they need to do less junkets.
That's probably the cheaper stuff. But we're going to talk about Shipwreck went on a junket. We're going to talk about his junket a little bit later. I don't know. It's for some reason all this online pass stuff, it just doesn't bother me. I mean, I don't think it's a huge deal to buy your games new if you're really interested in it and if the value is there. Like I said, I'd rather pay $60 for a game and get like the online pass than buy $60 for a game, get nothing, and see like $10 worth of DLC on day one available on the store, and then 3 months later see the game is now $40 new. That's what bugs me infinitely more, and it's happening all the time. Anyway, I think we should jump into the new releases.
All right, big week this week.
Woo!
Yes. I guess we'll talk. Are we going to talk about Red Dead and Alan Wake later when we get to those sections, or are we talking about those now?
What
do you say, Wombat?
I was going to say we can talk about when we get to it.
But, okay, so let's skip some of the bigger ones, and
we'll talk about Imagine Animal Doctor.
We'll come back to those. Yes, Imagine Animal Doctor Care Center, Volume 1, I believe.
Does Gretchen have this?
Off of the DS. She does not like playing vet games.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Imagine having to spend 10 or 12 hours a day being a vet and then coming home and playing it. The new Prince of Persia game came out, The Forgotten Sands.
The Forgotten Game, you mean?
Well, it will soon be that, probably. But I'm a big Prince of Persia fan, and I don't know. I think it might... Maybe if it wasn't this week with all of these different games coming out, yes, I would be more interested in it. But, I'll just pick that up when it's cheaper.
I got a feeling this has fallen off of everybody's radar.
What really sucks is if this doesn't do well, then I don't know if we'll see a sequel to the last Prince of Persia, which I really liked.
I like that game a lot, too. And I'm a little disappointed that this isn't. I mean, I understand because the movie's coming out, but movie isn't even out yet.
I don't understand. So what is this game? This game is not a sequel to the last one?
This game takes place between the Sands of Time, the original reboot of the Prince of Persia series on the Xbox and PS2.
Yeah, I played that.
And the second game of that series. Two Thrones, was that the second one? Warrior Within? I don't remember which order they went in.
The Warrior on the Throne?
Yeah, the Warrior on the Throne.
Well, at least they don't make it confusing to follow what the hell is going on.
But, I mean, the gameplay looks fine. It looks like a Prince of Persia game, like those older Prince of Persia games.
All right.
but it is also Ubisoft, which means it's going to drop in price very quickly if it doesn't sell.
Right. And it's not going to sell, I'll tell you right now.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough sell. I also got in Split Second, which is the Disney racing blow-up stuff in the
environment
game.
I played that at PAX East. That game is fun.
I played the demo.
It's a fun game.
Yes, I've played the demo as well. I have not played the full version yet, but I will play that this week sometime.
It seems like a more linear Burnout, and it's combined with like a kart racer, except instead of like having weapons on your car, you use the environment. You activate things in the environment to destroy.
You detonate the things that are like specific triggered points and events in the environments. And it's done by the guys who made Pure, that ATV racing game that was really good.
It's getting great reviews, I'll tell you that. It's got an 84.
They make good games.
84 on Metacritic right now.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to playing that this week. Also, the PS3 gets Rocket Knight this week. It was on an Xbox Live Arcade last week. And they also get the latest Sam & Max episode 2. And for the 360, Aqua came out. And there was another 360 game. It's not on this list that we're looking at. But somebody else look that up real quick.
Okay.
For the Wii, Trauma Team, the Atlas Doctor game finally came out. I've heard good things about that.
Metal Slug.
I have not.
Double X is the other one.
Yes, Metal Slug 20. Double X. No, it's Double X.
Oh, okay.
It's a version of Metal Slug 7. It came out for the PSP not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's on Xbox Live Arcade. And then also on the Wii is Bit Trip Runner.
I've played that also, and that game is a lot of fun.
That game is awesome. Yeah,
that's a very good game.
Yeah. That's a lot of fun. It's a 2D platformer, but like the other Bit Trip games, it's all about music and pattern recognition and Twitch gaming.
Yeah, it's it's got a similar feel to, was it Cannavault? Cannavault?
Yes. Yeah, yes. Similar to that.
Oh, it does look cool. And it looks like Katamari a little bit, but more pixel.
Yeah, but it's a left to right game.
Yeah, in terms of the style, I mean the art style.
Have you ever played Cannavault?
Yeah, I have it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's
similar
it's...
type thing. I like the way that it does the music still. Like all of these games have done, like the better you're doing, the more like parts of the instruments come in.
Oh, I would like
brighter
it.
Colors come in and everything.
You would like it. It's hard as hell too.
But I would like to play it on something else besides a Wii.
Well, it's a hold a controller sideways game.
Do they ever release these things on the computers,
I remember.
Computer or anything?
No, all the Bit Trip series is strictly WiiWare.
It's lame.
Well, I can talk to them. I visited them, but we can get to that later too.
Oh, okay.
I visited them when I was out in LA.
Wow.
And then for the DS, another Blue Dragon game came out.
Oh boy.
That series is still doing something.
It's still around.
Yes.
And it'll be heavily discounted, I'm sure, like the other one is now. At some point. All right. Is that it?
That is it. That is a lot, though.
That is a lot.
And the Shrek game came out, too.
But... Okay. Well, let's get on.
The last Shrek game was pretty good. Was it? I think it was Shrek 3 was the good one, right? Was that the good one?
Don't ask me. You think I played a Shrek game?
There was a good Shrek game that came out.
What am I, wearing a dress?
It was a good Shrek game, but I don't know that it was Shrek 3.
No, was it the one
before
that?
I think it was
the
one before that.
The co-op one.
But this is fascinating. Yeah. Everybody go out and find out what the good Shrek game is.
All right, let's move on to some shopping and CAG news. I guess first the shopping stuff is a lot of deals going on. I mean, GameStop continues to really just have a lot of deals, from having no deals to like an incredible number of deals. It's pretty amazing. They're doing this thing where they're giving away $10 coupons for future purchases with select titles and discounting those titles as well. And these are like new releases too we're talking about. Like Super Street Fighter 4 is $30, and they're giving a $10 coupon. Although I think they only have the PS3 version in stock, but that's pretty amazing deal right there. $30 plus $10 coupon. God of War 3 is $45, $10 coupon. New Super Mario Brothers Wii, and you generally never see discounts on Mario games. I mean, that's like crazy. $35 with a $10 coupon. Wireland Shake It is $17. I mean, it's a lot of deals. Check out the front page of CAG for more. Also, a game that we're going to talk about a lot later, Alan Wake is $50 on Amazon and Walmart with a $10 coupon for future purchases, which is a great deal. I highly just recommend you just buy that right now while you're listening
all
to the
All of
show.
Those games are great deals.
I know.
I mean, all of those games are really good games.
Yeah, I mean, these are some good deals here. And also, Gamefly is having their used game sale until the 24th. All these, there's a lot of games that are heavily discounted with free shipping. You can get G.I. Joe Rise of the Cobra for $8 ship.
Or you couldn't.
Or not. That's another option.
You probably don't want to do that.
Yeah. That maybe you skip that, and maybe instead you buy Brutal Legend for $10 for the Xbox 360. Wolfenstein is $10. I mean, Wet is $13. There's a lot. Just so go to the front page of CAG. You'll see
I
all
could
the
just
deals.
Keep the copy of Bioshock 2 I have for $16.
It's that game, boy. That game dropped in price like a rock.
Yeah.
Like a big daddy, that thing just sunk.
Wah, wah.
So those are some deals that you should definitely check out. Also, we have a bunch of contests going on. Oh, I just like ruined my... God damn it. We have some... I've just lost the outline. We have a lot of contests going on. We're having our 500,000 game collection contest, which means, you know, we're counting how many people are cataloging their games in the CAD collection system. When we reach 500,000, we're going to choose a winner who will win a $500 gift card. And right now we are at 494,766. I think when we first announced the contest, we were like 60,000 away. So now we're only 5,300 away.
You need to put the big thermometer on the front page.
Yeah. I don't know how to do that. That's not in my...
Ask the United Way. They do it all the time.
I'll give them a call later. Also, we're continuing with our $10,000 GameStop gift card bonanza giveaway. So just
crazy.
Go to the... It's crazy giveaway. So just go to the contest section on CAG, and you'll see it in the nav bar. Learn how to enter that contest. It's very easy and quick. And, of course, we already mentioned... some of the great deals that are going on GameStop, including the 10 to 30% off select titles and $10 future order coupon thingamabob. So, yeah, big thanks to GameStop.com and their sponsorship for this contest. It's a pretty sweet contest. And speaking of sponsorships, we have our friends at GoDaddy as well, who have a bunch of coupon codes for us. If you want to register domain names or get some web hosting, use coupon code CAG10 to get 10% off any order, CAG5 off 30 for a $5 off $30 coupon, and CAG domain gets you $7.49 domain name registrations.
I was singing in my head.
Okay, that's fine. A lot of people are in your head anyway, so.
They are.
Let us move on to multi-platforming and Wombat's news and stuff. And like we mentioned earlier, Shipwreck went to a special event for who?
For Medal of Honor.
So you can say that.
I can't say that. I can tell you what I can say. I can say I went to a Medal of Honor event at EALA and I saw single player and multiplayer.
What's the name of that game? Is it Medal of Honor or something?
Medal of Honor.
That's it?
That is it.
No colon?
It is a reboot.
No colon, huh?
No colons.
How does it make a duty? But I'm bumped.
I'm so glad you ran with it. If I made the joke, you would have yelled at me.
No, I would have been like, get out of my head.
Yeah, I can't talk about the event itself, so just not about anything about details about the game.
You can talk about... You know, talk about EA saving money. Shipwreck had to share a room with somebody.
I did. It didn't turn out too bad because I know this guy from a couple other events.
And he has soft hands, right?
Very soft. And he's got a beard, which I didn't think I'd like, but it's okay.
It's a new sensation.
Yeah, yeah. Very different.
Hmm. So when you got to the room, did you just drop your pants and go, this is how you know I'm the boss? This is what an alpha male looks like.
Right.
It looks red.
Yes. Well, we're both redheads.
Oh, so, my God.
Which I think is some sort of paradox shifting moment.
When two redheads enter the same room.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It was Jack from Achievement Hunter. For
Jack Meoffer?
Yes, Jack Meoffer. So, yeah, we had to share a room, but it was at the Ritz-Carlton in Marina Del Rey.
So that sounds pretty nice.
Like, right on the waterfront. And, pretty nice hotel.
How romantic.
Extremely romantic.
Where'd they take you for dinner?
They took us to a Mexican restaurant. I don't remember the name of it, but it was good Mexican food.
El Torito?
Yes, Taco Bell.
No, it was the other one. Del Taco. Del Taco. Mm. No. It was a nice sit-down Mexican restaurant. Mm. And then we did some stuff with the game, and then after that we went and played Airsoft.
Oh,
which, are you guys
awesome.
Familiar with Airsoft is?
Awesome. How is that?
It's like paintball, but it's
hurts more.
Little plastic. It doesn't hurt really.
No.
It's like a pinch.
Well, I have
like
a RoboCop Airsoft gun.
That's right, you do. Mm. Like, if you're not allowed to shoot anybody within 10 feet. Is why it doesn't hurt.
Okay.
Like, I'm sure if you get right up next to each other, that would be quite pelt-tastic. But mm-hmm. So we went out and we did the airsoft thing. That's my first time ever doing anything like paintball or airsoft, anything like that.
It's fun as hell, huh?
It is fun, but the masks they gave us, we were playing at night, and the masks they gave us didn't have the anti-fog like plastic or whatever on the front of them. So you either had like two choices, either not move so your mask didn't fog up, or move and then not being able to see.
Hmm. Boy, EA's really
and
cheap.
We were playing,
no anti-fog coating on the mask. You have to share a room. Mexican dinner.
Yeah, just terrible. I just hate that they flew me out.
I like how that sounds like a thing. Mexican dinner. Oh, did you have a dinner? Well, it was a Mexican dinner.
Right. No, it's Mexican's cheap. except in Tokyo. Tokyo figured out a way to charge $100 for Mexican food. So were you good at the airsoft?
Oh, God, no. I was awful. But some of it I attribute to my gun only firing like 30% of the time that I pulled the trigger.
Uh-huh, that's a problem.
Like, most of the time I spent like firing into the ground to see if anything was coming out.
Right.
And then we were playing with some dudes who brought their own gear. So they had like scopes and their masks didn't fog up.
Oh, that's fair.
Oh, I hate those guys. Were they actually people at the junket who brought their own airsoft gear?
No, those were some of the EA guys did. I don't think anybody that.
So wait, the EA guys brought their own stuff?
Yes.
If there is ever a reason to write a bad review of a game, I think that's it.
Right.
I mean, I had fun. I could see myself enjoying it a lot more if I had better gear.
That's what your wife said, I heard. But I'm bumps.
Yes.
Your jokes are worse than mine.
I'm sorry.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
So what else can I say about that? Not much.
Weren't you there two nights?
I was there two nights.
So where'd they feed you the second night?
The second day and during the day of, like, while we were at EALA, they just had food brought in. So we had, like, sandwiches and little fried appetizer-type stuff and...
The second night they put Shipwreck to work in the kitchen. I think he was peeling potatoes for the EA cafeteria.
KP duty.
EA-tery.
Yeah. All right. So, all right. Well, that sounds fun. One day I would love to go to one of these things. Not if I have to share a room. Forget that. I'm not doing that. But I'm too old for that.
And you went somewhere else, though, while you were in LA.
I did after that because my plane wasn't leaving till 11 o'clock at night. And we got done around 5 there at EA. So the options were either have them get us in the taxi and drive to the airport and wait at the airport for 6 hours or do something else. And so I contacted my PR rep over at Axis Games, and she was happy to come pick me up and go back to their headquarters and check out all the games that they had. And so
wow, that sounds fun.
That was very nice of her.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. I got to meet the CEO and president of Axis Games.
You met Johnny Axis?
Johnny Axis.
Oh, my God. He's my hero.
Very small company. Like, it's – you don't realize, like, you would think most video game publishers are still fairly large size just because you're used to seeing their logos on boxes and stuff. So it just kind of makes them seem – like they should be a huge corporation.
And they're in a tent.
But they're in a tent. In a just a little office complex, and there's like I don't know, less than 20 people or so in there.
What games did you see?
I saw BlazBlue Continuum Shift, the sequel to BlazBlue Calamity Trigger, which I liked a lot. There's three new characters and a whole bunch of like gameplay balancing, and it's kind of like their Super Street Fighter for the original BlazBlue. So
what's the price similar, gonna be on that?
But what's the price going to be? They did not give me that. I don't think, but I would think that
Shipwreck doesn't ask the price for games he gets for free.
Right.
No, I did. I did ask for the price, but I don't think they were ready to name a price for it. But
it's $40 on Amazon right now. $39.99.
So, it is for Continuum Shift.
Yep. July 27th.
Oh, it's definitely worth that. Then it's got some really cool modes where it's kind of like a survival mode, but when you beat a player, you can have them join your team, and so you end up having, by the end of the tree that you go through, you end up like having five people on your team, and if you don't use them, like their health refills, and so you can pick out which characters you want to use, and then you have to like beat like however many people are in each stage as you go along. So it's got a lot of cool like just modes, and all the storylines are new. And if you remember, I guess you guys didn't play the first game, but the first game, even if you lost during the story mode, it just branches the story mode a different direction. So there's like six or so different endings for each fighter.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a very good game. I like the new characters. One of the new characters has like almost a scorpion type ability where he shoots out a harpoon. But if he misses and he's close to the edge of the screen, he actually grabs onto the edge of the screen with the harpoon and pulls himself over to the edge.
Cool.
So it's a lot of cool stuff with it. For $40, I think great price. Bit Trip Runner, I checked that out there, which we talked about earlier for WiiWare. Mm-hmm. And I also checked out Death Smiles, which is a cave developed shooter for the 360, where you fly around as these little Japanese anime young fairy girls.
Maids. They look like French maids.
Yeah. It's that weird kind of Japan fetish.
Is that
stuff.
XBLA or is that retail?
No, that's a full retail disc. But it's crazy enough, and it seems like it has enough content too. I think she said that it would take about 8 hours to beat the first time through. Which is insanely long for a shmup.
I'll tell you what, it's one of the most ordered games on from CAG on Amazon.
It comes with some extras and stuff too. Like it comes with a faceplate.
Yeah, it's a limited edition. It comes in one flavor, I guess, for now. It's it's a limited edition for $50, and it comes with a faceplate. It comes with a soundtrack and special box art and stuff. So people seem to really be into that.
Yeah, it's 2D side scrolling, but it's just like insane. Like the it's just wacky crap. Like I had to fight this giant like mutated cow. Like the cow head was like the entire size of the screen, and I was trying to fly away from it on the right, and I was shooting back to my left as it was chasing me, and it was I don't remember exactly what it was shooting at me, but you shoot it and all these skulls pop out, and you collect the skulls and they build up your bonus meter, and it's pretty wacky stuff, and it's easy enough that most people don't have to worry about it being overwhelming. Like I wasn't dying very much, and I was just playing on, I don't know, whatever the simplest difficulty was, but I was doing all right with it. It wasn't like bullet hell or anything where you just have no choice or no chance.
You just laugh when you see all the bullets on the screen.
Right. So I like that a lot.
Cool.
And then I saw one other game, but I can't talk about that yet.
All right.
And they took me out to a Japanese barbecue place.
Oh, nice.
Nice. Shabu shabu?
I've never been to one.
No, yakiniku is Japanese barbecue. Okay. Shabu shabu is
I don't know.
The
there's like this
water.
Little wooden box with coals in it that they set up on like the counter.
It's actually that comes from Korea, but Japan has their sort of own take on the Korean
I was about to say, because that sounds more like Korean barbecue to me.
Yeah, but the Japanese made it their own, just like they did with ramen from China. They sort of ran with it. Made
you
it
and
ramen.
I have gone for shabu shabu together.
We have, and if you come to Japan, we'll do it here.
You should take Shipwreck to shabu shabu.
When Shipwreck comes, he's gonna have a lot of good meals. I can pretty much guarantee that.
Yeah, well, this was a good meal. I liked. I'd never had that kind of. I mean, it's basically like fondue, but
you cook it yourself. on the grill.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. I love it. We go all the time. I like my stuff sort of medium rare, so I make it happen.
Yeah, and then I got, she gave me a bunch of goodies too. Oh, I forgot. I wanted to say what I got from the EA event as well.
Oh, yeah, good idea. Full disclosure.
Yeah. Full disclosure there. I did get a pair of Oakleys sunglasses.
Did you look them up on Amazon to see how much they're worth?
He sent me the link.
How much are they worth?
$110.
$110. God. I want a pair of $110 sunglasses.
They're like ballistic sunglasses or whatever. Like, they're supposed to be able to take impact or something.
They're the kind that I couldn't get away with wearing.
Good, because when I see you wearing them at E3, I'm going to punch you in the face. So we'll see.
Have a little Medal of Honor logo, kind of. It's hard to see, but it's on the lens.
Right.
So I liked them.
Okay.
And then we also got Oakley backpacks.
Good, because I'm going to kick you in the back. I hope they're ballistic.
Yeah, because that's like something I could actually use. I'm like, oh, I need a new backpack.
It's a really nice backpack. MSRP on that was $150.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and I got a mouse pad too that says Medal of Honor on it.
It's made of gold, though, right?
Of course, no. It's just a just a normal mouse pad. But then from Axis, I got the booby mouse pad that came with Record of Agorest War.
Uh-huh.
You guys have seen that, right?
Sure.
Did you walk in and CEO was like, "You like right, you Chief? Like tits? You like tits? We got something for you."
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right, Chief?
I do.
Okay.
I know that Walmart wouldn't carry it, right?
Right, right. But yeah, so I got that and some other little things from their games. I got a bag from them as well that had like a blaze blue kind of canvas bag. I don't know all the MSRP on their stuff.
I don't think it's Oakley. All right, cool.
It was very nice, all the stuff that I received, and I'm sure I'll give some of it away as prizes, but probably not the backpack or the glasses.
Did you run into any of the big shot game writers who are in LA right now for the pre-E3 events?
They were kicking us out of one of the rooms at EA to get ready for that.
Right.
So, by kicking us out, I mean we were scheduled to be
right.
a different place, but I know that they were coming in. Right. I did not. I saw the producer from that is on Dead Space. He was staying at our hotel, so I didn't talk to him, but right. he was there.
All right, let's move on. I think to some of the big titles because we want to talk about them a lot. Multi-platforming Red Dead Redemption is here, and I mean the reviews are incredible. It's like
they're
highest
crazy
people. You mean the people who are writing the reviews are crazy?
I just mean the scores. I mean, I'm 2 hours in, so I really have no recourse on any
right.
type of real opinion.
Right.
But it does seem we'll do the good first.
Yes.
The character models are really nice. They're larger than Grand Theft Auto. It's hard not to compare the game to Grand Theft Auto.
Of course.
Rockstar, you think Grand Theft Auto. The character models are much larger.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to have put more emphasis on the on foot as opposed to, you know, there's horses, not vehicles, so that makes sense too.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as intuitive as I would like. That's my one problem where, and I actually complained about this on Twitter today, and it's good, glad I did because I actually got an answer. I was complaining about the save system where it has that basic save system that GTA has where you have to be in your safe house to save your game, which can be really annoying when you're far away and you
sure.
want to save because you just got some stuff. Like I did that. I lost like 50 in-game dollars because of that, and I couldn't remember where I was that I got it. And it was so it kind of peeved me a little bit. It turns out that you could build a campsite anywhere and save anywhere.
Now, how much time does that take?
What, to?
To build, if I'm out in the middle of nowhere and I want to save my game, is this like
well,
a whole thing
I only learned about this today.
Oh, and so you haven't tried it yet.
I haven't tried it yet, and I'm not the only one who didn't know. Just so you know that I'm not an idiot for not knowing this. The smartest person we all know, Super Programmer John.
He didn't know.
He didn't know about it either until he read it on my Twitter feed.
Right.
So
I'm just wondering, like, when you have to build the camp, does it take a long time? I mean, I don't know. So we'll talk about it when we get there.
I will say this
sure.
much, that the just, like, all I have unlocked right now is the ranch that you start in and the first town.
Right.
And it's not that much. They're not that large a town or a ranch, but it takes a while to get on horseback from the ranch to the town. And it's kind of like, after you've done it twice, you really don't want to do it anymore.
There are some fast travel options.
I was going to say, I bought one map so I could fast travel back, but I haven't bought the map in the other town yet. Like, you have to buy the map of the town to fast travel to it.
Have you, oh, sorry, that was my phone. Have you actually used the fast travel yet?
No, I haven't even used that yet, so I don't even know how long that takes.
Right.
But I will say this much. I shot some people, right, and that was kind of fun.
Combat's supposed to be real good.
Yeah, the combat is really good. I mean, it reminds me more of an RPG than the previous GTA games were. That's my initial impression, where there's, you know, different outfits that have different effects on your character and better weapons, and, you know, and there seems to be a reason to move forward. Also, you seem to be playing as someone who is more of a good guy than a bad guy. At least that's where what they lead you to believe in the first hour.
He's like Clint Eastwood in Unforgiven, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like Clint Eastwood in every movie Clint Eastwood's ever been in. which is a good thing, because one of the things I always dislike about the Grand Theft Auto games is I'm not a big fan of playing as the bad guy.
Right.
As playing as a sociopath. It's just not my style.
Right. You don't want to, you do that every day in real life. You don't want to have to.
Exactly. But I also will admit that sometimes the game could be a little sensitive, where I was walking up to someone and I'm on my horse and I could see that there was a guy that I could talk to. And to get off my horse, I pushed the wrong button. I pushed the left trigger instead of the Y button, which pulled my gun from my holster. Didn't shoot, just pulled the gun from my holster. Uh-huh. And then the pop-up came up on screen. You were hostile toward this guy. Now you can't talk to him.
Oh.
And I was like 3 feet away from him.
Well, I don't know. That might be good.
It kind of bothered me. I'm like, no, I didn't mean to pull my gun on him.
Can you, like, spin your guns around in your hand?
I haven't tried that.
Mm.
Yeah. But there you go. That's my... I'll have a lot more to say about it probably next week, but I will say this. It looks great. I hope when you guys get it, we can all play online. Well, I know Shipwreck has it. When you get
yours, I'll have mine tomorrow.
Cool. Yeah, we could do a posse maybe, like, you know, over the weekend.
Sweet.
But I think this could be a good CAG game night game because of the online structure.
Great. Yeah, it's supposed to be really cool. A couple of things I wanted to mention, even though I haven't played the game. If you remember, I had mentioned on CAG that I had heard that the 360 version was superior to the PS3 version, and people were giving me shit about it. Some people said, like, I shouldn't mention it because I haven't seen it myself. But, you know, I did mention it because I thought it was a reliable source and all that. And it turns out that it looks like the source was right. It's not a question of me being right, because I'm just passing along what I've heard. But Ars Technica had both copies, and they Ben over there, and he looked at both of them, and he said it's clear that the 360 version has quite the graphical advantage. It's sharper with much less aliasing. And, you know, he says they're both, it doesn't look bad on the PS3, but the 360 version just looks better. That's all. So...
You're not going to read the post on Cheap Ass Gamer about it?
Oh, from a Brazilian dude?
Yeah.
I could.
I think you should.
I have to get to it. Yeah, there was a guy, one of our listeners in Brazil took real offense. I don't know, like, why you'd be offended by that. I'm telling you something that I think you would be, that might help you. You know, and if you only have a PS3, it doesn't matter anyway, because you're going to just get the PS3 version. Anyway, so this is from RPM Acedo. Hey, GBD, I'm a Brazilian who likes to... Well, should I do it in a Brazilian accent?
Yeah, you have to do your Brazilian accent.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Hey, you're cheapy.
No. Hey, GBD, I'm a Brazilian who like to visit your site and listen podcast. I don't write very well in English. Please sorry for that. I don't agree with many of your opinion, but I think the show is fun. I post this thread because I like to call your attention on something you did say on the last podcast. I didn't hear or read nothing about the inferior PS3 version of Red Dead Redemption until today. Only you did, who did not play the game. I think your source is another Xbox 360 fanboy like you. Please, next time you try to help somebody, play the game before say something stupid. I can accept when one version is inferior to the other, only when we have many other sources saying the same or when you can experience for yourself. Any other reason is pure speculation. Don't help nobody. I gotta tell you something, and you know, I don't mean to make fun of your English, because certainly my Portuguese is non-existent.
You did do that in a very nice Borat impersonation. Yeah.
Well, at least it wasn't Indian. I figured, or Italian. So I figured that's a victory in itself. But I'll tell you something, RPM Macedo. There's always somebody
who's RP Macedo.
Okay. There's always somebody who's got to be the first person to tell you, right? It's not like everything's going to come out at the same time. So just because somebody's the first person to tell you that doesn't mean it's any more or less true. So maybe keep that in mind for future. And also keep in mind that GPT's never wrong. Just remember that. Actually, in this case, it wasn't me telling you. I was just passing word on from somebody else.
Yeah, if this had turned out not to be true, then you said you were right.
Right,
anyways,
I wouldn't.
You were just passing it
exactly. I wouldn't have taken blame for it being wrong, and I'm not taking credit for it being right. But you can keep in mind that when I do tell you something and I say it's from a reliable source, you know, I'm not doing this because I'm going to get like 5 extra page views out of it. Although a lot of people did make its way around the internet, according to my Google alerts. Now where are all those people who are bashing me on NeoGAF and IGN and GameSpot and wherever?
Probably playing whatever version of Red Dead they bought.
And loving it.
Perfectly happy.
Yeah, exactly, probably enjoying exactly. it just fine. Because the game, I'm going to say, I hope becomes very good. That's my...
Okay, yeah. Some Facebook comments about Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah, I was going to say, if the game is nothing but races and escort missions, I don't think I would last more than maybe another 2 hours, but we'll find out.
Did you ever finish GTA 4?
No.
Did you ship?
No.
No, me neither.
I find the game gets boring after a
while. Yes, it gets tedious is the word.
Tedious,
finished Ballad of Gay Tony.
Oh.
But I'd never finished the proper GTA 4.
Some Facebook comments about Red Dead Redemption. Edward Tanzer wants us to talk about Rockstar not sending out review copies of Red Dead Redemption to review outlets like Joystick and Giant Bomb. Conspiracy? Well, Rockstar has always seemed to me, and not that I've had a lot of contact with them, they always seem like they've sort of like stuck up, and they expect people to like kiss their ass in a way. And I'll tell you, the first thing that ever rubbed me wrong about them was when, I think it was my first trip to E3. And I guess it was when it was before Bully came out, maybe the year before Bully came out. Rockstar had a really big booth. And the booth consisted of a giant chain link fence and several buses. Like real full-size buses. And I guess they were showing Bully inside the buses. I think that's what they were showing. I can't be sure. And you just could not get in there to the booth at all if you didn't have an appointment. And it was a huge booth that took up, like, big space on the floor. And you know, this really imposing fence, like a fence on a booth, on a trade show. And that really just rubbed me the wrong way. It just seemed like they were saying, hey, F you know, we don't care if you come to our booth or not. We're going to show you that we have this booth, and we're not going to let you see jack shit unless you have an appointment with us. You're a big shot. And nobody else does that. Nobody else has a booth that you can't see anything unless you have an appointment. But Rockstar did that. And that really rubbed me the wrong way. And I'll tell you, Joystick, I know why Joystick didn't get a review copy. And I hope I'm not going to get in trouble for saying this, but I have a big mouth. If you look at some of the articles that Joystick has written in the past, they don't kiss Rockstar's ass. And there was an article that they wrote, and this is like... I mean, it's embarrassing. Rockstar should be embarrassed if this is the reason why they're not sending it to Joystick. There was an article written in 2006 on Joystick, basically talking about how like these PSP ports of the Grand Theft Auto games were sort of Rockstar just like, you know, cashing in on their franchise and not really going out of their way to develop something new. And it wasn't an overly nasty article. It was it was slightly critical, but you know, it wasn't obnoxious. It was an article with a guy's opinion on it. And I guess that just Rockstar read that, and they were like, "Screw you, Joystick! You're out of the loop." Now I don't know what the story is with Giant Bomb, why they wouldn't get a copy.
Well, I think the other thing you need to keep in mind is that their PR department now is almost all new people.
Okay.
So,
but didn't you guys get a copy?
Yeah, and they probably got their copies the same day we did.
Yeah, Rockstar always sends, at least to us, they always send the stuff so it comes. Either the day it comes out or the day after it comes out. Like, they don't send early copies. They might send them to... I'm sure they strike deals with certain sites. and they send them the few early copies, and then that's just the way they're set up. I mean,
but Joystick is certainly a big site, and they should be getting. Why wouldn't they get a copy?
They're a big site, but they don't put scores on their reviews.
It's hard to. Yeah, too. I think that's a big reason why they don't get. Because it's not about the early review score isn't going to affect their Metacritic rating, which is probably very important
for the PR people.
I'm saying it's important for the Rockstar PR people. It has nothing to do with its validity. That's not the argument here.
Right.
Jerk face.
Yeah. I'm not. I'm.
You're a jerk face.
Well, I may be a jerk face, but not because of this. Also,
I don't know what the story. I mean, we were just speculating on who or why they send that stuff out. I mean, truthfully, it makes no sense who all these companies send stuff to and who they don't. It's just, sometimes it's just a list that people get on and other people don't. And then
they're friendly with a certain person. And yeah, my Joystick comment, by the way, I don't know that's a fact for sure, but that's what I heard. So other comments from Facebook about Red Dead Redemption, Condor and Jason Billingsley, both. Condor. I didn't say Kandahar this time. They just wanted us to make sure that people were aware that there are a lot of glitches and bugs in the multiplayer. This apparently a lot of stuff turns invisible.
Yeah. I read about that actually, the invisibility issues. Yeah,
seems fairly widespread. So hopefully a patch comes out soon for that. All right.
There's always glitches and bugs in the first week of every multiplayer game.
Maybe. It just depends how big they are.
Right. I mean, most stuff, it's lucky if it works the first
time. You're right. All right, Wombat, why don't you pick some of these stories here and continue with your Wombat's news and stuff.
Hey, Shipwreck, did you ever get Torchlight to work on Steam?
I've played about 10 minutes of it over about 7 sessions.
Nice. Yeah, so, I'm about the... Yeah.
I got to the point where I actually saw an enemy... And that's the furthest I've ever gotten.
Me too. I saw one enemy, and every time I try to hit it, the game locks me out. So I'm going to say Steam on the MacBook is a no-go. Don't waste your money. I lost $10.
If you have a MacBook.
Yeah. Yes. And it's funny because the game has a netbook setting.
That's not even a netbook. That's more powerful than a netbook.
Yeah. So I set it to netbook. And I set it to the lowest resolution, and I turned off all the effects, and I still can't get past the first enemy. And I deleted that file that the internet tells me to delete, but there's no clear... No one tells... Like, I have yet to find, like, one clear-cut official thing I should be doing. I've only read hodgepodge here's and there's.
I've tried all of them.
Yeah,
have
me
you
too.
Tried recently? Because there was a Steam update a couple of days
no,
ago.
No, I haven't tried recently. Because the weird thing about it is the two or three minutes that I can play, it all runs fine. Like, there's no slowdown or anything. It's just like it's running along fine, and then it just bombs.
Well, I've played about 3.5 hours on my iMac, and I haven't had a single problem, and it's a great game. Wombat would love it. I mean, it's Diablo.
I'm sure I'd love it, but you know what? I can't play it, and I get really pissed off every time I bet.
I bet. Well, especially since you paid the money for it, too, and you know you would like it. That's the sad thing. It's a great game. I highly recommend it. I guess the sale is over now. It was $10, and now it's back to $20. But if you like Diablo, you're gonna love this because it is Diablo, pretty much.
Portal also does not work on the MacBook, at least not on mine.
I didn't even bother to try that since I had finished it on the 360.
Well, I tried it because I tried Torchlight, and then I wanted to play at least try to play something.
Right,
and then that just bombs out and gives you a white screen.
When I tried to play Portal, it wouldn't let me finish downloading it.
Well, there are a bunch of new games that came out today for
I'm thinking maybe I'll get that LucasArts pack because I'm sure those games that are 20 years old will play them.
Right. So I don't know. I've been enjoying Steam a lot. And speaking,
it just made me stop and go back to playing my 360.
Yeah, I went back to my consoles because you know why? When I
gotta screw this.
When I have a box that says 360 on it and I take that disc out and put it in my 360, guess what happens? The game works.
Right. I know Jean...
There's no way on Steam to tell what is going to work and what's not going to work. Like, in their store. Like, it should tell you... There's not that many different configurations of Macs out there.
Right.
It should tell you if you have this Mac, go to your system settings on your Mac, see what Mac you have, and if you have this one, it does not work.
Jon Snow, I think, has a MacBook Pro, and he was having a problem, too. But I don't know if he fixed it or not. And speaking of Steam, we've added Steam to the Cheap Ass Gamer price tracker. So now if you if you're searching for prices on games or looking at our overnight price drop, you will see that Steam shows up. And if you don't see Steam show up, make sure you have it checked off in your on your retailer box under the price tracker.
Well, until I can get my game to fixed, fuck Steam and fuck Runic. So let's move on to the next topic.
Great. I like it. That's what's fine for me. All right, Pick, you brought it up.
I know. I just like to get mad for no reason.
Good. Next.
Did you guys see the NPD numbers?
No.
They were dismal.
I did. They're pretty sad.
They're really sad. Sales were down. It was the worst month of sales since April of 2005.
Yeah, didn't we talk? We didn't talk about it?
No, because they came out after we did the last show.
Oh, okay.
They were down really low, but one of the things, and I believe it was Michael Pachter who brought this up, is that he thinks a lot of it may have had to do with the stimulus package for Call of Duty.
How so? Everyone's just playing that?
People are just buying that. People are buying DLC and stuff online and not buying new games.
I do see people on my friends list playing that all the time.
Exactly. And according to the joystick, one of the best-selling accessory for the last 2 months, according to the NPD, is the 1600 Microsoft point card.
There
so
you
people
go.
Aren't buying games, they're buying points.
Yep, and spending it on Call of Duty maps.
And they're spending it on Call of Duty maps, and I just thought that was kind of interesting and worth noting. That
yeah,
people
that is.
Are, you know, this is not just a, you know, a gimmick, it's not just a trend. This seems to be the reality that people are buying fewer games and buying more stuff for the games they already have.
Or because at least this game. this game.
I don't know if you can judge that on 1 month that hardly had
any
big releases, though.
2 months.
Well, no, but the month before that was great for
software.
Yeah,
that's true. The month before it was great.
And
so,
you got to keep in mind that Call of Modern Warfare 2 and Call of Duty, it's a phenomenon, you know?
So I guess it's going to be very interesting to see what happens, I guess, in May with all these big releases and to see how they sell. Or if, with the economy the way it is, if people are really just saying, you know what, I could buy a new game for $60, or I could spend $15.
I think people saved their money for May. A lot of people, I think, just saw all these games are coming out in May and just said, I don't need Splinter Cell and I don't need Super Street Fighter 4.
Right.
They'd rather have...
Because those were the only two games, really, that came out in April.
Red Dead or Mario Galaxy, which is that Sunday? Is that this Sunday or next Sunday?
That is this Sunday.
This Sunday,
I think,
yeah.
Right?
That should be on the new releases list, was it?
No, we do them the week they come out. Right. Sunday is next week's new releases.
It's the first day of the week. It's in the gray area of week.
Anyway,
yeah.
Let's
keep debating that.
One other thing.
I say Sunday is this week.
All right, do this 3D story, and then we'll move on.
Ubisoft.
Let's go to Brazil and ask some guy in Brazil what he thinks.
Game Sunday.
okay.
Ubisoft is predicting that 50% of all games will be in 3D by the year 2012.
That sounds pretty optimistic. Well, I wouldn't say optimistic, but I would say high. Yeah.
So you're saying that everyone at Ubisoft is high?
I would say so. I mean, who's going to even have a 3D TV by then?
Not me.
2 years.
Yeah. That in the world's going to end but then anyway, so.
Right.
Well, there'd be less games then. Mm-hmm. So 50%?
Right. There'll only be two games coming out in 2012.
And one of them is Avatar 2 in 3D, so.
Right. All right. Should we move on to... Oh, wait. What you wanted to talk about something with UFC Undisputed. We talked about the code that was required for the online play.
And they also sent a PR release, a press release saying that that the first review score was going to be announced, which was an exclusive with GamePro, and that it's getting a 5 out of 5.
Great.
As if that was some sort of news that other websites would actually put up.
That's pretty weird. Why would they even bother sending that out?
I don't know. And
why is GamePro still doing exclusive reviews?
Early reviews.
Yeah. I thought people don't do that anymore. Like, respectable publications don't do that anymore. Even GameSpot doesn't do that.
I don't know. Yeah. So there you go.
I don't know.
All right. Let's move on. Can we do Microsoft first? Because I got to talk about Alan Wake before my head explodes.
You go and talk about Alan Wake. I'm going to go take a nap.
Dude. Wake up.
It's good.
Wake up. Yeah, Shipwreck and I both finished Alan Wake, and I don't know. This is one of my favorite games in quite some time.
What do you like about it?
I mean, I like it. It really is one of the few games that can successfully integrate a story into the game that is of a high enough quality that you actually like give a shit about the characters, you give a shit about the story, you want to see what happens next, and it's just like it's like the story is almost as good as the game itself, and it just never seems to work out that well with games. I mean,
I have a review coming very shortly, and I talk about a lot of this in my review, but I think the reason is because everything in the game feeds into the narrative. Like, even the combat mechanics, the light and dark, shining your flashlight, waiting for that to, like, take off their shield, their darkness, or whatever, so you can shoot them with your real weapon. Like, it plays into the narrative of light versus dark, and, like, it's got themes built into every little aspect of the game.
Yeah, I mean, think of it like Resident Evil, but that you can actually understand the story and you like the story. And you can move when you shoot.
Here's the most important question. Mm-hmm. How much am I going to like the game?
You're going to love it.
Yeah.
You will love it.
I can't believe the scores on this seem
low.
Like, it's got like an 84 or something.
Which is a good score. Which is a very good score. I'm telling you, if this game was called Resident Evil... The Alan Wake Chronicle or whatever, it would be at least like in the 90s.
I don't know. How did Resident Evil 5 do?
It didn't do it. It did similar. It did better than this is doing, but not much.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. I'm not complaining. I just feel like there's a bias towards Resident Evil, and people critics are more likely to point out the flaws in this game as opposed to Resident Evil.
It's a different, this isn't a horror game, really. It's a suspense.
It's a thriller. Like, yeah.
Thriller. Yeah.
There are some scares in the beginning, but I think that those sort of dissipate as you get through the game.
Yeah, I'm looking at now it's down to an 82 on the...
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
I'm going to go down to the bottom. Let's go down to the bottom and see...
I don't care about that. But let me tell you something. Like, I was explaining... To tell you like that the story is interesting, just to point this out, I was giving my wife a summary of the game, about what was going on in the story, like over dinner, and she was like... I could tell she was getting really interested. And we got home, and we put Ty to bed, and she came into my office, and she's like, can you show me some of the cutscenes from the game? Because I want to learn more about the story. And we sat there on the couch, and we played through some of the cutscenes, and she was totally into it. And I really don't want to give away any spoilers to the game at all with, you know, like anything.
I appreciate that.
No.
Yeah, because even like the most simple stuff, like some of the mechanics that they use in the game, like you should just discover them on your own. And I'll just tell you this, like, and I put this on Twitter, when I finished the game is broken up into episodes, six episodes, and I finished the first episode, and when that episode ended, I just was like, I found myself like smiling. I was like, wow, they just really nailed this whole concept of an action game that's like,
It gives you cliffhangers.
Yeah, it gives you cliffhangers. It's like a, you know, they say, I watched one of the videos from the makers of the game, and they're calling this game a cinematic action game or action thriller.
It's a third-person shooter.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a third, nothing around, like, it is a third-person shooter.
Right, but it has, sure, definitely. But the story is strong that...
Oh, yeah, no.
It really just brings the game to another level, and it has you... I was thinking about this game after I finished it. I went back and watched the ending like three times, at least three times. I was like listening to the soundtrack. I just wanted more. And one of the cool things is if you do buy the game new, you get the first DLC pack for free. And I'm guessing what they're doing is they're just going to keep releasing episodes to the game. Since the game is already in this episodic format... They're going to just release DLC of more episodes, if the game sells well or people are buying it. And I'll tell you, like, without any spoilers, the game ends in a way that is, it answers, like, some questions.
There's things that, if you came out of a movie theater, you'd be discussing with the person you saw the movie with.
Right, but there's so much stuff that's still unanswered that, and you're so interested in the story, you're like, wow, I want to get that DLC when it comes out. I mean, of course, it's going to be free if you bought the game new. But, like, usually we just, like, last week I was saying, like, once I finish the game, like, I don't really want any more DLC. because I finished the story. Mass Effect, you finish the story, you know what happens. Who cares if I have another guy in my party? Who cares if I have a tank? This game, they can add on to the story because the story's not over. In fact, it seems like the story is really just beginning. But it's still satisfying enough when you finish the game that you're not upset. You're just hungry for more.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I will recommend that you watch the... There's a prequel set of 6 videos that you can download from the Xbox Live Marketplace. And they're worth watching. They're very well done.
I think... It just shows, this year especially, it seems like games have started to really nail the narrative aspects of what you can really accomplish with a game.
Yeah.
Like Mass Effect mm-hmm. and even Heavy Rain, even though I didn't think the narrative itself was good, like the way that they delivered it and just
the acting,
the mechanics yeah. and everything, like it delivers an interesting narrative. And like even Bioshock 2, even though it uses what was in Bioshock 1, it tells a narrative well, and I think we're really starting to, like, the
mature.
People who get it and get how to insert all these themes along with what you can do in games, we're starting to get really strong narrative games.
Yeah, it's not, they don't, usually you would say when you talk about a story being a good story, you would always preface it, in a game, you would preface it by saying, like, oh, it's a good story for a video game. Because usually the stories are pretty lame. But this is just a good story. Mm-hmm. And you know, like, yeah, even better than Mass Effect, I think. I mean, it does a better job of telling a story than Mass Effect. And of course, the game's a lot shorter. It's about 8 to 10 hours, I think. 8 or 9 hours, probably even more accurate. So it's probably easier to tell a cohesive story in a shorter time period.
Sure. And I think Mass Effect, its strength is really the character development.
Right.
The interactions between characters and everything.
Yeah. The dialogue that you you take part of the dialogue. But this is, I don't know, I just really had a great feeling about this game while I was playing it. And it was just one of those games, like, just like a good book that you can't put down. I couldn't put it down. Like, at first I said to myself, all right, I'm only going to play this game at night. But I couldn't do it because I would be sitting in my apartment during the day and I'm like, I gotta know what happens. I gotta play. And I, you know, the combat is fun. Yeah, it can get repetitive, but I don't know. It never gets frustrating, and that's a big plus. I just really recommend the game. I really just want everybody to go to Amazon right now and buy it for $50 and get that $10 coupon, and hopefully the game does really well, and they'll have a lot of, you know, good content to come out in the future. Because I think they have a good. Finally, there's like a game with a good story to tell, that actually is worth having DLC for, that I'd be interested in getting. So I don't know. I don't know if there's anything else to add, Ship, or what. I'm interested in...
Well, I think if people are worried, like you said, it's only about an 8 or 10-hour game, there is quite a bit of replayability because there's so much stuff to explore and find.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Probably
won't
get...
Is that really... I mean, one of the things the game does, and I think we can say it's not really a spoiler, is that you pick up a manuscript while you're mm-hmm. while you're playing the game. And one of the things that this game does, you know how like in Bioshock you pick up the recordings and you listen to the recordings while you're playing? It's similar to that, but it's sure. worked much more into the game's story, and I don't want to spoil it why. But one of the
yeah,
things
don't spoil it.
One of the things that's
another example yeah. of how every mechanic in this game like enhances the plot.
Right. But I will say this, one thing that it does that's quite innovative is that if you read the narrative while you're, you know, excuse me, if you read the manuscript that you pick up while you're playing the game, it can actually spoil the game for you.
I wouldn't say spoil. Not spoil. It's foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing. Okay. Yeah. And spoil is a bad word. And I found myself like conflicted if I wanted to read it or not, but I definitely went back and read them. And you know, the author of, you know, reads it to you. You don't have to just read it, but I don't know. I love the game. I think it's really, it's one of the best games I've played in a long time. Everybody just buy it. Wombat, I'm really looking forward to you playing it. I hope Shipwreck sends it to you really soon and we can talk about it as soon as possible.
I will, because I'm thinking about picking up, if I can find the collector's edition, I think I'm just going to go pick that up.
Cool. Buy it from Amazon. Get the $10 coupon.
There you go.
Maybe I will.
Yeah.
So yeah, Alan Wake. Love it. Love it. All right, so also with Microsoft, some Swedish websites were posting Natal and the price of Natal and, I mean, Project Shitbox. And the price was $200 and some websites picked up on it, like Kotaku. And Microsoft said that that's just speculation. Pure speculation. There's no way that thing could be $200 when it comes out, right? Like, no way, right?
Holy crap, no.
Like, it can't even be $100.
I mean, you have to do the dollar conversion where they sell games for $80 as opposed to $60.
Okay, so but even still, that's quite a lot more.
So it's like, yeah, it's like
what do we think it's going to be?
50 or something. What do I think it's going to be? I think it's going to be overpriced at $10, but that's just me.
For this thing to be successful, because you know how hard it is to put out any type of peripheral, you know, a game peripheral, and get it to be adopted by a mass audience. And if you don't do that, you're not going to get any people making games for it.
I think it needs to be $60 with Fable 3.
Something like that. It needs to be, it can't be more than $60, and it has to come with a game.
It's going to be more than $60. Are you kidding me?
Pachter says 50. Pachter says 50.
No. How much was just the camera?
It was 50.
When it came out.
Right?
Okay. For the camera was 50.
Yeah.
And it's just a USB camera. But that's all that was.
Yeah, but maybe they're just being greedy with that. I don't know. I just still remember that analyst that says that this thing is going to be a $1 billion moneymaker for Microsoft. And I think that guy is, I want to smoke whatever weed he's got, because
I think this thing's at least $80. At least.
All right. We'll see. What happens.
Well, let's see. $80 with Fable 3.
That's okay.
No, that's not going to happen. Not with a Fable 3 in there, too.
But that's at least a guaranteed seller. And with Natal capability.
They need to move these things big time. Yeah. Otherwise, it's just going to die.
That's just it. If you don't package it with something that people want, then it's never going to kick in.
Right. No one's going to buy it. All right. Let's see. Ulster 1 has a question for us. Screw him. He just said he bought an Xbox 360. He wants to know what games he should buy. And he doesn't like Mass Effect, and he already owns Red Faction. Buy Saints Row 2.
Did you see that they patched Mass Effect 2?
Yeah, there's a question about that in the CADcast. Well, I'll read that question right now. MSU Hitman wants to know. He says they fixed a lot of technical issues with the game, including the speed of mineral scanning specifically. Isn't this a slap in the face to anyone who bought the game at launch? Who is really still playing it unless it's for a second character? If a major shooter or sports game took 4 months to release a patch, there would be no ending to the complaining, but because it's BioWare, they seem to get a pass. Well, actually, Ulster 1 answers MSU Hitman's question. He says, Microsoft as a whole is not too fond of game patches, and they also take a while to go through the approval process. So rather than BioWare fixing the scanning speed and releasing it as a patch by itself, it's better for them to find all the problems in the game and patch it all at once. I'm pretty sure, from what I've heard, that this is true. Microsoft really does not like releasing patches, and they want you to like get all your shit into one patch if you can do it. And it can take a while for it to just to be approved and be ready. So, yeah. Don't blame BioWare. All right, should we move on to anything else on Microsoft? No, let's move on to Sony. Wombat, you've been playing 3D Dot Hero some more?
I played a ton of it over the weekend. That game is a lot of fun, actually. I figured out what was wrong when I was seeing that black bar on the bottom. That's just the wall of the dungeon. It's just a bad level design, to be perfectly honest.
It's just that specific dungeon?
Yeah. I also figured out how to transfer characters from my computer to the game.
Oh,
normally,
that's cool.
Normally I'm an idiot when it comes to those kind of things, but I actually was able to figure it out. And I played as Link for a while, which is really weird because you really do feel like you're playing an old Zelda game.
How does that work? You can download other people's characters?
You can download if someone uploads their character to, there's like a forum that's good that has a bunch of them, or the 3D Dot Heroes website. You can download it to your computer, and then you put it on a thumb drive. And then you put the thumb drive in your PS3, and you pull the file out to your PS3 hard drive.
Let me ask you another question. Can you, on the computer, can you design your own character?
I don't think so, but I don't...
But I bet you can. I wouldn't be surprised.
No, I'm going to go with an I don't know.
If you can, like...
I think it's just in-game that you can design it.
Okay. Yeah, but I was going to say, but I don't think so. Okay. But the game, you know, the game is a lot of fun. I mean, it's... It is Zelda. I finally found a second sword, which is bigger than my other big sword, and the dungeons are difficult. The game is hard. I die a lot. Like, a lot. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I highly recommend,
so you recommend it.
If you're looking for, you know, that a retro old school game with, you know, a modern feel, this is the one for you. And at $40, you're probably going to be happy with it if you know what you're getting.
Yep, and it's $35 at Amazon.
Or $35 at Amazon.
Cool. Yeah. Very good. What else for Sony? Oh, a lot of rumors coming. Some of them seem to maybe to jive what we were talking about last week. There's a story that that Sony is going to reveal a premium version of PlayStation Network at E3, sort of like a game of the month club. So you pay a certain amount of money, and then you'll be able to choose one free game from a choice of 2 to 4 games every month. And I don't know what else. It doesn't say what else it would have. Some other privileges.
But it's funny because that's something that we talked about on this show about maybe a year or 2 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yes. We talked about how we thought it would be a good idea that someone should do that, where you paid a monthly fee and were able to get DLC or a game for the fee that you're paying, or paying a yearly subscription, which would come out to be spending less than if you were to buy something every month. And yeah, that they would probably make more money in the long run because more people would be willing to spend $60 a year, but that got you one $10 game a month. That's 50% off. We talked about this. We speculated that this would be a good idea maybe about a year or two ago, that we thought it would be something cool if either Microsoft or Sony or even Nintendo did this. So maybe they will. Because I still think it's a good idea. Would you spend $60 a year for one $10 game a month?
Of course. And I would do it, yeah.
Maybe.
I probably would do it.
I guess so.
I mean, I bought Core.
But
I subscribe to that.
But do you spend more than $60 a year now in downloadable games, in arcade games?
That's probably what I spend. I would say.
Yeah, I spend at least that on Xbox Live Arcade.
Do you think the average console owner spends $60 a year in games?
Probably not. Hmm. It would be, I think it's a moneymaker for Sony, and they should definitely do it. And what if you forget to get that game? I'm sure people forget to buy a game to get their free game once in a while.
I don't think anyone would forget to get their free game.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
It could happen. Anyway, because last week we talked about I mentioned the new interface for the PS3.
Yeah, I can see a lot of people getting pissed off, though, that they come up on months and the free games are ones that they already own.
Yeah. By the way, you know, I'm pulling these stories up from Destructoid, and for some reason, all these, this one and this other rumor have pictures of handsome men hugging each other on a beach. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but I like it. Anyway, the other rumor is that about the PSP2. Is that it's going to have a touchscreen and two cameras and be very, very powerful. I told you that they're not going to show it at E3. So you could probably take that to the bank, I'm guessing. They said it might be 3G enabled and half as powerful as a PS3.
You know what I want to hear about?
What?
I want to hear about fucking Monster Racers.
Yeah, Nintendo time. Monster Racers.
Wait, didn't we just talk about that last week?
We did talk about it last week.
We did,
week,
but
I think
Shipwreck's
still playing it, so I want this game.
Did they give you... did you get like
a level 66 kaboom.
Did you get a pair of Monster Racer Oakleys or something? Is that why you're still talking about it?
No, I think it's actually... We talked about it briefly last week, and I actually think it's a pretty good game.
Oh, okay,
so
good.
I figured I'd bring it up again. Very much Pokemon, but instead of battling, you're racing. And, the only issue I have with it is early on, it's really easy, and it takes a while to get interesting, and then when it does, it requires some grinding. So, but I like it.
Do you ever
review up shortly?
It's out of stock on Amazon, I think.
Is it? I was just looking.
Oh, wait, there it is. No, Monster Racer. Is it Monster Racer or Monster Racers?
Monster Racer. Racers.
I thought it was Monster Racer.
They have it wrong on Amazon. It's Monster Racer.
No, because that's not from Amazon. Yeah. That's sold by Besku.
I got it. I'm looking right at it. I'm looking at the picture of the box art. It says Monster
Racers. Yeah, but it's Monster Racer. It's very
does
confusing.
Look just like Pokemon. Look at that.
Well, it's made by Koei.
Right.
So
I always thought it was Cully.
I think it has to do with the Monster Rancher people as well.
It's Koei.
Koei? Koei. Yeah.
What did I say?
You said it. No, sure. Wombat said he thought it was something else.
I thought it was Koei, you said it right. You said Koi.
I'm sure someone will correct
me. No,
mine.
I did not say Koi.
All right, enough with that, this Monster Ranchers, or racers.
I actually know, because this brings me to something I wanted to bring up. Uh-oh. I watched the, wow, you know, the last time I brought up something like this, the game actually came out, and that game was Batman Arkham Asylum.
Okay, go ahead.
So you could kind of lick my butthole.
Go ahead. No thanks, go ahead.
Was, because I was thinking about this after you mentioned it on the last show, and then I watched the trailer today for the Superhero Squad MMO.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Marvel and or DC should really rip off Pokemon and make a Pokemon-style game based off of that license. Where you're a guy and you're literally collecting the superheroes. And
you could be Nick Fury?
Yeah, or whomever. Or just like a kid that's obsessed with comic books. And you're out literally walking around and you would randomly stumble upon certain characters that you can have like three different levels. Like it would be Iron Man, Mach 1 Iron Man, and then Mach 2 Iron Man, and then like Hulkbuster Iron Man would be if you used them like a lot. And you could literally probably have hundreds of characters, like 200, 300 different characters in it or something crazy like that. And you could have, you know, play online or connect face to face with people. I think it would be huge.
It's a winning formula.
Exactly. I know you would play.
You can stick anything in the Pokemon formula and it works.
But the question is, why don't those games exist? Why haven't more people stuck things into the Pokemon formula? You're saying it would work. I think it would work. But there aren't that many known licenses that use the Pokemon formula. I can't think of one famous license that uses the Pokemon formula.
Monster Racers.
Exactly. Because everyone loves Monster Racers. See?
Right.
Yeah.
All right, that's a good idea.
I told you it's a good idea.
I've been playing a little bit of Dementium 2 on the DS too, but I'll probably talk about that next week because we're going long here.
Okay. Let's see. Where are we here? Anything for the iPhone or Mac? We talked about the Steam on Mac.
Ninja Town is on sale right now for 99 cents.
Yeah, I'm probably going to wind up picking that up. I picked up
Dragon's
Lair.
Definitely pick that up for 99 cents.
Okay, I'm going to buy it right now.
It's become one of my go-to games on the iPhone. It's
really
easy to play, like in short bursts. So great game.
I bought Angry Birds. It's like the number one game on the store there. It's really fun. It's like one of those you know, you shoot something at a building and the building knocks over and you try to kill the things inside the building.
Oh yeah, I like those games. Yeah.
That genre. Okay, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I like the catapult game where you do the same thing to it.
Yeah. This is you're shooting birds at pigs. It's very well done. Physics are very well done. Graphics are great. It loads fast. So that's a good pickup too, and it's cheap.
Dragon's Lair, not always responsive, but it's Dragon's Lair. Like, it is Dragon's Lair. It's kind of impressive to see.
Right. I think I had enough Dragon's Lair.
You would.
Get Ninja Town, cheapy.
I just bought it. I just bought it while we were talking. It's downloading as we speak.
I was going to do that, but I figured I'd wait.
Nope, I'm not waiting. I'd forget, so I want to get in on that sale. All right, let us move on to the Show Us Your Tweets and CAG Bag. We did MSU Hitman and this dude. Well, not so much in the CAG Bag this week. Bioshock says, normally Wombat's contribution to the shows are pretty worthless.
Fuck you.
hey, it's not me. This is Bioshock talking.
I was saying, fuck you to Bioshock.
Oh, okay. But a few of the things I do enjoy hearing talk about are Star Wars, DC, and Marvel topics. That being said, I would like to hear his opinion on this last season of Smallville and where he thinks the show is going in terms of story and how much longer he thinks it can go on for. He also wants you to stop humming while I'm reading the GoDaddy ads. It was funny in the beginning and now it's not. Okay, go on.
Okay, well anyway, they did announce today that next season, season 10 of Smallville, will be the last season of Smallville, which is kind of sad. Season 9 wasn't bad, but the whole plotline involved the Kandorians. But it ended with them getting sucked into like another dimension, which isn't really canon. If anything, they should have been sucked into a bottle, hence the Bottle City of Kandor, which would have been
right.
Awesome.
I even knew that. I knew that. I was going to ask you, those are the little people.
Those are the little people. They're supposed to wind up in a bottle at the end, and Superman keeps them in his little Superman house. but it didn't happen, and I was a little disappointed.
Yeah, why didn't that happen?
I don't know.
Maybe that happens later. He's too young. That's why.
How can he be too young? There's 10 years.
I was going to say, the show's been on for a long time.
This dude's like 45.
He's the same age as me.
Can I ask you a question? I've watched a few episodes of the show. I don't really know anything about it. Like, does he get laid in the show?
He does. Once. I think he had sex once.
Once. I mean, first of all, like, in Superman 2, we all know that Superman's father tells him that in order to bang Lois Lane, he has to become immortal.
Yeah, no, he learns how to control.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, it comes up. He gets asked the question, like, can you even
do that? Please fill me in. I'm
yeah, it actually
here.
Happens this season because he takes Lois to a bed and breakfast, and his friend and Green Arrow is in the room next door, and Green Arrow goes, can you even do this? And Superman's like, well, I've learned how to control.
He has to wear a lead condom.
He wears a super kryptonite condom. I have no idea.
What kind of control? What does he mean? Like his semen would just go right through her or his penis would rip her apart?
I think he knows how to control his
thrusting.
I'm assuming he just shoots it up at the wall. Like,
but what if you're in the room upstairs?
That sucks.
Yeah, he pulls and prays.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh my God.
The shipwreck method.
I don't know, because I remember that was really depressing in Superman 2. I've talked about that before.
But there was a lot of cool stuff in this season of Smallville. I really like Checkmate. I'm a big fan of Checkmate in general, so that was kind of cool. I liked seeing Amanda Waller. That was a lot of fun. And there was the Justice League with Hawkman, and seeing Hawkman and Dr. Fate was really cool, too.
But are all these guys, like, in high school? Like, what's the story?
Not in high school anymore. He works for the Daily Planet. He's out of college.
Oh, okay.
He's full time.
He's even out of college.
Yeah, yeah. The show's been on for a long
time. Dude, he's like 35 years old.
He's not on the show. He's got to be like 24. So it's like it's kind of stupid that he's not Superman yet. Like they have him like he saves people now in Metropolis, but he wears all black. It's really lame.
Oh, because he doesn't fly.
He doesn't fly. Although his mom gives him the costume in the season finale, which is actually how it worked in the comics. His mom sewed the first Superman costume.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so that was kind of cool. And it looks like next season 10, is going to be all about Darkseid. So I'm looking forward to Darkseid.
Do you think he will fly next season?
I think they have to end it with him as Superman, right? Isn't that how the show ends? Like, that's the end of the show. It's him as Superman.
Right.
And then they could start the Superman show with him and Lois Lane and...
Lois and Clark, you mean?
Yeah, Lois and Clark. The new adventures of Lois. The new adventures of Lois and Clark.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I think it would be a fine idea. And I think we talked way too much about Smallville and probably lost a lot of listeners.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You ever see that?
That was one.
you ever see that cartoon with the guy who's like Superman, but his whole thing is getting his alter ego laid?
Yeah, that was the Saturday Night Live one, wasn't it?
Yeah, what was that? What is that?
That was on Cartoon Funhouse.
Yeah. What was that? Do you remember what the power? No. Oh, I can't remember. It's hilarious, though. Anyway, maybe I'll play it at the end of the show. Oh, Wonder Man.
Yes.
That's so funny. All right. Anyway, I think, you know, the keg bag was really empty today, so I don't have anything else. So it's time to say goodbye. So let's go through our little crap here. Twitter.com/GPD, Twitter.com/Wombat5277, Twitter.com/Shipwreck. Also, video game deals and UK game deals on Twitter. Good stuff. Please review us on iTunes. We need your reviews to gain power. So the dark presence can gain power over the land. You must review us on iTunes. And GoDaddy. 10% off any order, coupon code KAG10, $5 off a $30 order, coupon code KAG5OFF30, and KAG domain gets you $7.49 domain names. Woo, I'm sweating. That's it. Anything else? Am I missing anything, guys?
I think this was a lovely show, and I want to thank everyone for attending. Stay tuned next week for episode 200.
So I guess what we're going to do is a regular episode for 200, and then 201 will be like best of.
And we have something very special planned for episode 200.
We do?
Oh, yeah.
We do?
Sure.
What?
I'm going to be here.
Wombat will have even more corny jokes. Actually, I had the corny jokes.
You had a lot. And, maybe I'll wear pants next week.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. And see you later.
Wonder Man.
That was incredible, Wonder Man. Do you ever go out for fun? Not really.
Velma.
Velma, as a superhero, I have no time for romance in my life. I'm married to crime fighting.
Oh, I understand.
Though I certainly hope you don't hook up with Henry Moore.
Who?
Henry Moore. I hear he's hung like a horse. He's actually too big for some women to handle, though most are incredibly satisfied.
I don't know why you're telling me this.